The Holy Gospel according to St. John, chapter 14. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you also may be. So far the words. You may be seated. In the name of our Lord, at whose coming all will rise again with their bodies and will give an account of their works. The expression, the day of the Lord, occurs about 24 times in the Bible. Most of the occurrences are in the Old Testament. The New Testament uses of the expression are either direct quotations of or allusions to the Old Testament occurrences. The prophet Isaiah was apparently the first to use the expression, the day of the Lord. And he was followed in that usage by Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Zechariah, and Malachi, right down to the end of the Old Testament. They all used it, in some cases, several times. You don't have to advance very far in your ability to distinguish law from gospel to realize that the expression, the day of the Lord, is closely associated with the law of God, particularly in its function of passing judgment and condemnation on human sin and rebellion. A quick look at the way the prophets use the expression indicates that the day of the Lord has the following characteristics. It is impending and close at hand. It is closely connected to the wrath of God. It is a day of vengeance and retribution, in other words, divine payback time. It is associated with destruction. It will call forth trembling and wailing. It will be a time of darkness, not light. And in some places, the adjectives great, terrible, and dreadful are set before the words, day of the Lord. The prophets Isaiah and Amos, especially, have some very clever descriptions of what the day of the Lord will be like. Listen to this one from Isaiah chapter 24. Fear and pit and the snare are upon you, O inhabitant of the earth. And it shall be that he who flees from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit, and he who comes up from the midst of the pit shall be caught in the snare. The prophet was playing with language here to make his point, and he plays on the sound of these words that are translated fear and pit and snare. In the prophet's language, these three words are pachad, pachat, and pach. The very sound is scary, to say nothing of the meaning. To get a similar alliterative effect in English, we might say terror and trepidation and trap are upon you, or panic and pit and perturbation are upon you. In the prophet Amos's description of what the day of the Lord will be like, he takes us into the realm of bad dreams and nightmares. He says, woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. It will be as though a man fled from a lion and a bear met him. And then he went into the house, leaned his hand on the wall, and a serpent bit him. Poor fellow. He runs in one direction and encounters a lion. He flees from the lion only to confront the jaws of the bear. He dashes into his house, rests his arm on the wall, thinking he is safe, and a venomous snake emerges and strikes him. This is the stuff of nightmares. I suppose we should have Michelangelo's Final Judgment fresco from the Sistine Chapel before us here today. Anguished and horror-stricken faces, contorted and broken bodies, fiendish demons and all. The point is that when we think about the day of the Lord from the perspective of the law, it presents a terrifying aspect, and it should. That's what it's supposed to do. The day of the Lord is coming. It will come upon all, no exceptions, and it will be inescapable. And it is a time when the vengeance of God will be poured out upon all human rebellion. So, why are we dwelling on this gloom and doom stuff today? Because it is necessary for all of us to be reminded powerfully that God threatens to punish all who transgress his commandments, and that we are simply obligated and compelled to fear his wrath when we and honestly confront our guilt. Against the backdrop of what the scriptures teach about the day of the Lord, Jesus' words from John chapter 14 become for us all the more precious and beautiful. The chapter begins with the words, "Let not your heart be troubled." There is nothing that could be more troubling to our hearts than having to face the day of the Lord apart from the grace of God. But we have a Savior who says, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Why not? For the following reasons. First, there are many dwelling places in the house of God the Father. There is a place of eternal safety and refuge from divine wrath. In other words, salvation has been provided. There is heaven instead of the hell we deserved. It is there. It is an accomplished, completely finished, objective reality. Your place of salvation is prepared for you. How did that happen? It came about because someone has gone before us to prepare that place for us. What we could not do for ourselves, God did by the giving of his Son. He became incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary for us and for our salvation. He gave himself as the sacrifice of atonement for our justification, that is, so that we could be declared not guilty. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into the heavens and sits at the right hand of the Father, where he intercedes on our behalf. And at the last day, he will come again and declare to the faithful, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom which has been prepared for you." Take full occupancy of the dwelling place which has been prepared for you in my Father's house. You shall be with me in perfect happiness of body and soul for all eternity. He has told us that this is so, and has commanded us to proclaim these things, and blessed are you in the hearing and believing of these things. Amen.